Welcome to the Victorious Souls Podcast with self-love coach Danielle Burnock. Things happen in our lives that make us feel powerless. But Danielle believes that anyone can become a victorious soul by reclaiming what belongs to them, their value, their belovedness, and their God-given superpower. The Victorious Souls Podcast is dedicated to empowering you to rise up, reclaim, and embrace the change from survive to thrive as a victorious soul through the power of love. And now, here's that lady on the internet who loves you, Danielle.
Welcome to the Victorious Souls Podcast with me, your host, Danielle Burnock, that lady on the internet who loves you, connecting you to the love that heals so you can love yourself from survive to thrive. Today, I have with me a gentleman named Josh Marcengill. Did I say that right?
You did. Thank you.
Oh, awesome. He is an author and the founder of Abundant Encounters Ministry, who is intimately acquainted with the issue of suicide. He was once an atheist, but now is passionate about sharing and helping others experience real encounters with God. Thank you for being on my show today, Josh.
Thank you so much for having me. What a sweet show. I love what you're doing.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Before we get into, we're going to jump right into it. Before we get into the, your experience, your personal experience with suicide, you knew about suicide earlier in your life. Tell us about your childhood.
I started off rough. We were poor. We lived at the beach, so I don't know if that's cheating, but we were poor, and for American standards, and I think in that impoverished environment, people around us were kind of dealing with that and struggling. People on drugs. My dad actually he contracted HIV in the 80s. Mm-hmm. So that was really scary for people, a lot like COVID today, but just because people didn't know, there were so many unknowns, you didn't know. Yeah. And so that isolated him and convinced him of that. And eventually he took his own life when I was 15 years old. My dad killed himself. And he had tried so many times, and then he finally succeeded, unfortunately.
Oh, wow. He tried multiple times before that?
Yeah. So there were all these hospital stays and things, organs shutting down, all that kind of crazy stuff. And, and then later on, my brother committed suicide, and that was, I was 19. He was 21 years old. And in between that time, we even had all these different people that had committed suicide around us. There was a guy that hung himself. And now, I don't know if there was just a curse of suicide or something on this beach area that we were living in, but I definitely wouldn't speak it over that place. But I mean, it was just horrible. And it just became a way of wow, this is just part of people's reality. I didn't know that most people are not dealing with that like that. And I'm thankful that the rest of the world isn't experiencing suicide on a regular basis, but it is a rough reality. It's so difficult to deal with. I believe it's a horrendous disease. People just really suffer from it, and it's a killer.
Yeah. Wow. That's awful. Mm-hmm. But then also part of your story is, you became an atheist, and your journey into atheism started really young. Tell us about that.
Yeah, my mom, my mom was a practicing Protestant Christian, and she went to church, all the time. And, she's been praying for me all my life and all that good stuff. But when I was there, up until about age 9, I just was hearing like hellfire, brimstone. So, I mean, I doubt that that's what they're actually preaching all the time, but that was the only thing my 9-year-old mind ever heard. So I was like, listen, if I'm going to hell anyway, I might as well do it myself. I can maybe figure that out on my own. So, and I just thought I was so smart with that, but my mom gave me a decision, and she said, if you don't want to keep going, I understand. And as soon as she said that, I was like, oh yeah, I'm definitely out of here. And, it was crazy though. At right around 9 years old is when I started having suicidal ideations myself. And this is before mm-hmm. my dad committed suicide. And so, you know, I tracked it back one time and I realized that, oh my gosh, you know, that was right around the time that I started just imagining myself dying in all these gross, grotesque kind of ways. And just those images filling my mind. And that went on for quite a while. And I just ended up in this, you know, trap of, and, you know, I mean, it's, I remember in school, people would call me, you know, shy at first, which I didn't really mind and those kind of things, but it kind of escalated. I noticed that people would say things around me, like, not to blame anyone, but like, it was just interesting to see the conversations change. So people, it started with shy and it was quiet and I didn't like that as much. And then it was like, oh, there's something wrong there. He's depressed. You know, and when people started calling me depressed, I started feeling really depressed as a kid.
Wow.
You know, weight. And anyway, you know, that's not to shame anybody, but we have to be careful what we say to
words
kids.
Words are powerful.
They are so powerful. And I just noticed that those things created loops in my mind and what I call head trash now. And so I just constantly fantasized about being dead. I thought about what it would be like for people. No one would care, of course, in those kind of internal conversations. And all this is just nonsense. You know, the devil's a liar. So anyway, that kind of all of that led to me just really, you know, I was agnostic for a time, but when I got into college, I found some people to run with that were, you know, adamant atheists. And so for about 2 years, I really lived that life and I hated Christians. I just thought they were so, and I don't even know why, you know, I mean, I just really just picked out Christians to hate. And, you know, and I hated a God that I didn't believe in and all that.
Did the people that you hung with, the other atheists in the community, did they hate Christians too? Or did they just, was it more you particularly picked on Christians? They just hated everyone that believed anything, or how'd that work?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's, you know, we had our redeeming qualities at times, but like, yeah, we really discussed our hatred a lot. And I remember that really being a painful experience. I didn't realize how painful it was for me. But I was definitely dying on the inside, just drying up, not caring about anything, getting a hard heart against people. And I was very academic and which is a great thing, but it was just not treating me well. I just found a place of isolation within all that. And, you know, we targeted, you know, just feeling like, well, Christians are really the enemy because they're ruining the world. And, you know, they got all these fairy tales and so on and so forth. We would just go for it with all that. And that was our big pastime.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. And then you got to a point where you attempted suicide yourself. You stopped with the ideation and you actually took action. How did that come about? What was the driving force? And then you're alive, so you did not succeed. So what happened?
Well, one of the reasons I went to college was to get out of poverty. And so I went to college, started doing really well, and I actually achieved it, honestly. I pulled myself up by my bootstraps, as I said, and really hit it hard, got great grades and everything else, and became an atheist. But I ended up with the job of my dreams, working for a managerial consulting organization that was, you know, just doing great stuff out there. And, you know, it was just everything, like everything I thought I wanted, I had, and I was making great money, lived in a downtown apartment, had a nice vehicle that I was driving, all those things that I couldn't have imagined when I was a kid. And I mean, as all of that was there, I had this big, huge hole in me just feeling like I just don't care about this. This doesn't, nothing matters. And I could never find consistent values. I just couldn't grab a hold. I couldn't get a foothold in anything in life that really mattered. I was running through relationships and it was all worthless. You know, like Ecclesiastes or something.
That's what I thought. I thought of Ecclesiastes and also Morla from the movie Neverending Story. Have you ever seen that?
Yeah, I think it's been a while.
That's the big turtle that goes, nothing matters.
Yes. Yeah, and it was so, you know, it was really sad. It really was. And I look back on it and I feel for that guy. I'm so glad that God rescued me from all that. And, but yeah, I got to a place where it was just like, okay. And I had a bottle of sleeping pills and I was like, did the cliche. I was like, you know what? I can just take all these, drink a fifth of Jack Daniels and it'll be over. And so I did exactly that. And right before I passed out, I said, okay, God, if you're real, then I really wish you'd kill me. Because, I mean, in my view, I didn't want a new life or anything. And so, but the thing is, so this is probably like 1 a.m. or something like that, maybe later. And I wake up in the morning just at dawn, and which is so weird. It was just a few hours, and I felt like a brand new person. So I'm not really sure, but he may have killed me. I mean, some strange things start happening here. So, but it was just a very different reality. Now, I just couldn't believe that my mind felt so clean, so pure. Like there was peace in my mind, and I was really suffering from anxiety and the depression, all that kind of stuff, and having a high profile job where people were seeing me all the time. All those things were so much pressure was happening. I mean, I would go into the bathroom stalls and have panic attacks during the day and stuff like that. Like, so for me to have a mind filled with peace was a radical contrast from the reality that I was dealing with before. So yeah. It was just night and day. And I mean, what a radical miracle. I mean, you know a little bit about the brain. Like, it's like there's some plasticity. I get it. But like, this is like all the superhighways of information flow, like getting ripped out and like a whole brand new system getting put in. You know, wow. So I mean, for me, it's like, wow, God, what a radical miracle. It's like a limb growing back. Now, I can appreciate these things today. But of course, at that time, I had no box for this kind of stuff. I knew very
Yeah, what did you think to yourself if you didn't have the thoughts that you're expressing now? How did you express yourself when you woke up and you're like, hey, I'm not dead. What the heck?
Well, I'm so used to the fear dialogue, and that's like all the words I have. So I'm like concerned. I'm like, okay, this is the onset of schizophrenia. And there was a real great cause for that, because I started having what Christians call open visions. So I felt so good. I went for a run. And so I go jogging, and I start having an open vision. And
that open same vision, day?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
That
yeah,
same day. Day.
Feeling like
when
brand.
You first woke up, mm-hmm. What did you say? Do you remember what you said when you first woke up? Or did you just feel when you woke up?
I think you hit it there. It was more like a feeling, and I didn't know what was going on with me. I was
woke up
and
went, whoa.
Yeah.
Like that?
Yeah. Well, feeling like cleaned, like something happened, like all the dirt in me was gone. And you know, it wasn't that simple. And you know, it played out over time, and there was a lot of things that God had to do with me. Like, I didn't even know who he was, you know, really. And I had sworn him off. So I didn't have like that paradigm or whatever. I didn't have that mm-hmm. Christian understanding, like, what's next? What do I do with the Lord? Okay, now, you know, and I did end up finding out that he was real. What I mean, in this open vision, I see Jesus, and with my eyes. One of my friends explained it, like, you can, if you're riding down the road looking at a windshield, you can choose to look at the road or the windshield. You can kind of, and that's exactly what I was experiencing. So it was like I could see the open vision, and I could see, beyond it. So, I mean, that's why it seemed like schizophrenia to me. Mm. But what I realized was when I was looking at Jesus, he was so real, and there was kindness in his eyes. And he spoke to me. He said, Josh instead of Joshua, which was just a little bit of familiarity that was just like, wow, he really knows me. So everything I've heard about you, Jesus, is absolutely incorrect. I mean, maybe I wasn't listening, because I get that people understand that Jesus is more than just religion and stuff, but this was a real Jesus looking mm-hmm. at me. And here I am, an atheist. Like, he's like, I'm here in your face. Like, you have to deal with this information right now.
Sort of like Paul on the road to Damascus.
Yeah. So grateful that the veil was torn. I mean, like, God comes out running after his kids sometimes. And that is the theme of my life. And he continues to rescue me. But right then in that moment, he totally rescued me. He just rescued me from so much pain, honestly, and so much and I know that's not everyone's story, but it is my story. And God so effectively healed me in that moment from so many things. And there's still so much. There's a healing journey that continues to happen to this day. But that was such a big deal for me, because it just helped me get a foundation under me where I could believe. I could just believe that good things could happen. I could have hope. I mean, I was completely hopeless, complete empty tank of hope. So. And no one can live like that. And that does cause suicide. And so my heart goes out to people that are dealing with that. There is thankfully, you know, there is, you have to find hope. You have to find a way to find hope.
Yeah, definitely. So after you went on this run and you had this open vision, what did you do next? I mean, you were 27 then, you're 43 now. There's a big wide gap in there. So like that very day, did you start going to church? You get a Bible? I mean, did you go to the doctor? What did you do?
I didn't go to the doctor. I was like, you know.
Well, you said maybe it was schizophrenia. That's why I mentioned that.
Yeah. I mean, that may have made sense, but I was like, I was like, no, I just have to get back to my life, which wasn't working anymore. I don't know what it was, but I just couldn't do things the way I had done them. But I was just trying to do that kind of American hustle thing. Like, okay, this is super weird, but I just have to kind of get on with my life, you know? But thankfully the Lord had this whole idea like planned out. And, this guy that I'd worked with like 2 years earlier, he ends up calling me and he wants to start a business. And I remembered that he was a man of the cloth is what I remembered. And he ended up being a Protestant Christian, which a man of the cloth sounds like, maybe he would be a Catholic or something, but anyway, so he's a Hispanic, has a Hispanic church, but I remembered him being a man of the cloth, and I was like, you know what, this guy, I know he could probably speak well, and because he wanted to start a business with me, so I was like, well, I guess maybe I'll go check him out at his church and see what happened. So I showed up at his church like it was a business meeting. I literally had a briefcase, and you know, not really having a paradigm for like, you know, how churches work, the worship. I didn't know any of that. So I show up and they're playing music, and I used to be a musician. I was like a heavy metal musician when I was 15, you know, working out all my teenage angst and all that kind of stuff with long hair and everything. And, so I'm watching these guys play three chords, and I was so disapproving. I just didn't understand what was going on. I was like, man, you know, I walked up to the front row, and the pastor's family was there. I didn't know them, of course. So I asked them, you know, because I'm thinking like a business meeting, I need to be up front, be ready for whatever he throws at me. So I asked them to scoot over, you know, like, can I sit here? I just didn't understand the protocol, you know, or anything about church culture or religion or anything. So it was really funny. And looking back, you know, at the moment, and then I was just kind of suffered through worship and music. Like, oh my gosh, this is not good. And then he got up there and he preached about relationship with Jesus. I was like, wow, this guy knows what happened to me. And I mean, I was like a mess at that point. Emotion started to come completely to the surface. And I mean, it just overwhelmed me so much. And at the end, he's a really funny guy, and I love him so much. And I remember he comes down off of the stage, and I went over to grab him because I don't know what people are doing, but I'm just doing my thing. So yeah. I run over and I grab him by the shoulders, and I shake him. I say, I have to have one of these relationships with Jesus. I have to have it. I don't, you know, and you know, just crying my eyes out. And he's laughing the whole time. I'm like, because he knew what God was up to the whole time. Like, so I'm just, you know, I'm just kind of along for the ride, basically. And God is really, really changing my life. And I mean, that wasn't it. Like, there's just so many things that he's done. You know, I met Father God in a very tangible, very real way, encountered him. And encounters just began to really become a mainstay in my life. And so I, you know, that's kind of just became my ministry. I started to realize that encounters are real. Everyone can have them because God is not a respecter of persons. And so anybody that wants one can have an encounter. And so the way I define encounters is just any moment that you know that God is real. So you probably had some in your past. And you know, like, we've got a history with God. And I know that I realized that I had moments, you know, like even when I was an atheist, like when God stood up for me, there was like car accidents that were narrowly missed, and just situations like that where it was like, oh, wow, he's been kind of orchestrating this thing in some ways my whole life. And wow, thank God for God.
Amen. So did you stay at the church for a while? Where were you living at this time? You said you lived in downtown. Where were you living at the time?
It was San Diego, California.
Mm.
Yeah, I stayed there for a few years, lost a business, and a bunch of crazy stuff happened there, and ended up moving back into my mom's basement in like Georgia.
Where's Georgia?
That was a real hard time in my life, but I ended up meeting my wife and those things. So again, the Lord's just, he had all these amazing plans and things, and he was lighting my steps, kind of like the Bible talks about. And but I just never knew what was happening, but it's all been so ridiculously good. And I mean, and really hard sometimes too. I definitely don't want to make it sound like it's a fairy tale. But
don't leave out the hard parts, because people can get the wrong idea, and then they, you know, say, Jesus help me, and you know, fairy dust didn't fly around, and they get disillusioned.
Yeah. And you know, I learned that in my faith, my faith is important. So it's not like my parents' faith, my pastor's, my priest's faith. It's my faith. And like with that, that's the foundation that God had given me. And so I believe that everybody needs something like that. So, I mean, like maybe it's perceived and it's a subjective reality for me, but I don't care, because it really is something that I can build on. And if it's not something that I can build on, then it'll fall away and it'll get out of my way when it does. You know, it's just that ability to kind of move on into what the reality of whatever God is bringing into our life. Like if God is real, then he is real. And that's the best part about it. And so leaning into that can be terrifying for Christians sometimes, but it's also really important, because you cannot survive on your pastor's faith. I mean, go to church. You need a church family, all that kind of stuff. Absolutely. But you also really need to be able to connect with the Father. Jesus really knew this. He said in John 17, he prayed like the whole chapter just about us being able to have what he had so that we could be in the world. You know, so trying to be in the world without this connection, to me, it's just way too hard and not necessary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It says that Paul wrote in one of the Timothys to Timothy about, I know whom I have believed. It's not that we believe about God. We believe him. He's a person. We believe him when he talks to us. We believe what he says. Now, I'd like to share with people, like, believe in the promises of God. We remind him of what he said to me, just like a little kid goes to his dad and says, Dad, you said I could have a cupcake after dinner. I ate my dinner. Where's my cupcake? But when God makes promises to us, well, you said that you took my infirmities and bore my sickness. You said that you forgive all my sins. You said this. You said you would help me and never leave me. And countless other things in there that if we will, you know, lean into the faith, like you said, and dare to believe. I like to use that word, dare to believe, because I don't want to tell people what to do. I want to dare them to do it, because they're more inclined to respond with a dare than with a tell.
You know, it's, yeah, I mean, we can have so much fun with the partnership that God brings into our lives. I don't want anybody to miss out on that. So I dare you.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. Well, since then you moved back to Georgia, and then you said you found your wife. Tell us a little bit about that and leading up to when you wrote your book. I mean, there's still some space in there. What led between you meeting your wife and then getting to your book, and you have a whole website and all kinds of things you're doing for people?
Thanks, Daniel. We've been on a wonderful journey. We went in Georgia. You know, I was leading worship at a little church. So God got me there from my worship. I decided I loved it, you know, so I went all the way to the other side, threw out my CDs and the whole like,
God cracks me up when he does that, when something you don't like becomes something that's a favorite of yours. He's done that with a couple of songs. Oh. It's like, I don't like this song, but it was where I was at in my journey also. And now it's a favorite. I chuckle, because I'm like, yeah, you're hilarious, God.
He's really funny. And yeah, and then I became a worship leader at a small little Baptist church, and one of the people that attended there, she was a dancer, and my wife's a dancer, and so she asked if she could do that, and that's how I met my wife. And right away we just knew that I was like, oh wow, I've met my wife, she's here. And which was weird, you know, I didn't, because I was like, oh, I'm that strange guy that fell in love at first sight and all that kind of stuff. But it ended up being true, you know. We've had the best best marriage. It's been really, really good and really hard. but we went to, like, you know, supernatural ministry school and all kinds of fun stuff together, and did mission trips all over the world. And we learned a lot about God, and encounters continually kind of was a part of my life. And so I'm at a meeting and in Alabama one time on one of these mission trips, a domestic mission trip. And I realized we're doing a prophecy, which we learned in supernatural ministry school, and which is just really a fantastic way of saying, you know, like the ministry that you go out and you do the stuff and you try the stuff and you pray for the sick and you know, and you prophesy and you try the things and you get them wrong and you fail and but then you pick yourself back up and learn from what you can and all that kind of stuff. And being in an environment like that, I highly recommend to everybody. But because it was good, that was another place where we really learned how to believe and how to have bigger faith than we started with and those kind of things. And all that. So I'm at a meeting and I'm prophesying, and at the very end, which was terrifying for me, I'm an introvert, but I'm doing it, you know, just to be one of the, you know, in there, like I'm, you know, trying and failing and everything. But at the end of it, the Lord said to me, Josh, you can give this away. And that was a huge moment for me. And but it was at the very end of the meeting. And so I couldn't say it to everyone. I was like, oh my gosh, I got to give, you know, I just kind of knew what he was talking about. Cause I was like, oh, he's talking about encounters. He's telling me he wants me to share with people that they can experience him personally. And so, you know, I almost ran up to the mic, but the guy was closing the meeting and I was like, man, what do I do now? You know, but I started to ruminate on it. And the Lord gave me a book. And I mean, I was already very busy working and going to school and doing all kinds of different things. And so somehow I wrote this book in like a year, and it was it was like four books. And so I got a great editor and she told me I write like an introvert, which was actually really helpful. And, you know, she gave me some brutal honesty that made it into like a really good book that I'm super proud of. It's called Encounters, Pressing Into Your Abundant Heavenly Supply.
You have a copy and with you?
I do. Yeah. If people can
hold
see
it up for the video.
Yeah. So
there you go.
That's it. And, so yeah. And then, I don't know if that's backwards or anything, but
I could read it.
Oh, cool. Cool. But you can find that on Amazon or on our website. But so the book is even just a tool. So I tell you about all the crazy encounters I had, but then I invite you into them so that you can have experiences. Of course, they're not going to be the same experiences.
Right. But
when we learn to talk to God, we open ourselves up. And even when we learn not to despise small beginnings, sometimes they come into these massive realities for us. And then we're just walking into a lifestyle of living in this connection to God, just the way he designed it. Like and that is so satisfying. You know, you end up being the person with the most peace in the room, you know, sometimes and things like that. You're just, there's so many benefits to being able to walk with God. You bring and leak heaven everywhere you go. And it's
that
just
peace that peace is precious that you're talking about. I just finished reading a book today from another guest I had on my show. And he's talked about how grace is our greatest need, but peace is our greatest want.
That's good.
And he talks about, you know, all of, you know, the Miss Americas and politicians, they all talk about world peace, but, you know, they can't deliver it. Only Jesus can give us peace.
That's right. And he does. So that's a good thing. It's like when we ask for it, when we look for it, this is one place where we actually find it. You know, we might look for it in all kinds of different ways, but this really is the place. Like, you know, money always was such a loud voice in my life, for example, and learning that it was just one voice at the table was so helpful for me. And it's like, okay, like what I've done is I've allowed this voice to be so high and so prominent. It's got at the head of the table. And then, you know, so I want to hear what God is saying. So when I started to practice hearing and practice that kind of stuff, and the Bible's full of practice, you know, it says practice. You do not have to get this stuff right. You know, do not let, you can't let perfection be the enemy of good. Like, you know, you really have to allow yourself to make some mistakes. God's not so angry and so, you know, on the tip of his, it's just none of that is really true about him. God has wrath and all that kind of stuff, but he's not just waiting for you to mess up so he can kick you and say, hey, you did it. You know, why'd you even try? He's looking for us to be like crazy enough or whatever it is to say, you know what? I'm going to give this a shot. Like, what do I have to lose? Like, why not? You know, almost a why not faith a little bit. But when we do that, we can, we really begin to grow. And I mean, you know, there's the acorn seed. We've seen that, you know, there's a tree inside of there, you know,
I mean, like
way things happen. So when we just start to cultivate that, it's just stewardship, really. It's like, and in order to steward things, we have to value them. So it's making that decision that, you know what, money's not going to be the loudest voice in my at the table, you know, or it's shame or guilt or whatever it is. Like, this voice is way too loud. God, what are you saying? Increase the volume, like, and learn to hear and think, I think I heard God say this, and go for it, try it, you know, because learning to do that kind of stuff and learning to let his voice get louder is really helpful, because these voices do, they start to get softer and they stop having so much control over our decision making and over our future and over our past. And I mean, I can even look at my past and think, even though I was not a good guy, there were so many times in my life I tried to sell drugs. I was really terrible at it. but I tried, you know, and I was, you know, it was just that was a low part in my life. And I was hurting people and things like that. But I look back now and I can see it's like, wow, it was all beautiful. Like, I can still see. And I had to make amends, and there were all kinds of things that I had to do after I became a Christian, but all that stuff is good too, really. It's hard to make those decisions to live differently when we're so used to ruts and things that we're stuck in. But God really does make it possible to get out of the rut and start just sailing off into our purpose and our destiny, which is unique. And so there aren't ruts there. We just have to follow his voice, and we have to do. And a lot of our ministry is a little bit like that. We're off the beaten path a little bit. You asked me about our website and stuff like that. And so we do inner healing. Inner healing is wonderful, and it does help people talk to God. There's reprocessing memories in inner healing. There's, you know, like if you're tormented from the past or something like that, you can present Jesus back into those moments. And I mean, it is without fail in my experience. I'm like, it's not even 90-10. I don't know what in the world, but every time we do this little tool, Jesus shows up and heals somebody's memory. It's really impressive. And in my experience, I've been doing this for about 12 years, and so much fun. And so inner healing is very underrated in the church, and it's all over. Yeah. There's all kinds of different.
Say that again.
It's underrated. And
yeah, we need to get the stigma off of it. Like, we can talk about mental health now in the world. Yeah. Finally. I mean, still some people, you know, probably are stigmatized by it, but
yeah,
basically it's the stigma has been made quieter. Like, you're using the words you were using has been made quieter, and we need that to be made quieter. Trauma and inner healing needs to be made quieter. The stigma against it in the church, because you can't just say, you know, in Jesus' name, and the person's healed. There's stuff has to take place. There's things that have to be processed. There's changes that have to occur. It's not magical.
Right. Yeah. God's not a slot machine. He's not a magician, but he is absolutely profoundly miraculous. So he can do all of that stuff. And you know, the Bible talks about, you know, when it says the word saved, healed, or delivered, usually it's the word, as in the New Testament, it's the Greek word sozo. And that word is so powerful. So it's all three anytime you see it. And so there's, you know, there's the story of the lepers, like the nine lepers, one of them comes back. That guy got sozoed. And there's about, you know, I think it's like over 100 times that this word sozo is used. And sozo is a really powerful ministry and great tools. And so it ended up being a ministry for inner healing, because it's about, you know, there's the guy, the guy, one of the guys that got healed in the Bible, he jumped, he leaped, and he blessed God without getting into the story too much. But those are three things. So he jumped, he had a physical healing. He leaped, he had an emotional healing. And he blessed God, he had a spiritual healing. So he had all three of them. So he got sozoed. And so that's what inner healing, in my opinion, is looking to do. And connection with God is how that is achieved. So it's a facilitation ministry. We have tools that we pull on. And if God doesn't show up, then we're all in trouble. But thankfully, he always does. He always loves to show up and heal his kids. So that's one of the things that we're really proud of and that I believe we do really well. We have a wonderful team that helps with that as well. And so you can get it online, which is really helpful for pastors or people that are leaders, or, you know, it's hard to do some of these things in our own church sometimes. If you do have an inner healing ministry in your church, use those guys because they're going to be awesome. And I don't want to pull those away, but you know, if you just need that privacy or that, you just need that confidentiality, that's like super confident, you know, just cause you really got to open up about something, then online tools are really helpful for that. So it's very perfect, and we take confidentiality super seriously. So that's what we're trying to provide, is just a place where people in the church can go. And these sessions they're usually about an hour and a half. And I mean, they are so life transforming. Sometimes people just walk away and most people say this very thing, almost every single person, really, they say, I feel lighter. I don't know why. I can't explain it. I just feel clean. I feel lighter. And I remember that feeling. I remember that feeling from that morning when I woke up, and so many other things. It's like the Lord showed me inner healing on a personal level. Like he does that, of course, for others. But I just, and so when I saw these tools install, saw them work, I was like, oh wow, this is the way that I give this away. This is how this works. I can actually give this away through inner healing. So that's what we're super about. We just would love to do that for anyone that's interested. And there is a right now there's a 10%, you know, off on our website and those kind of things. So go on there and get an inner healing session. It could change your life, and it could help so much.
Okay. Is there anything you want the listeners to know before we tie this up?
Yes. I love this question, but it's like, you know, like, God, break open our boxes is a song, but it's just like, he's better than we think. He's so much better than we think. And so if all of your thinking has gotten you to a place that you don't like, then allow God to begin to establish some new thinking in you, because life is really precious and there's so much goodness all around us. And, you just don't want to miss out on that. And I get that the news is noisy and there's a lot of loud voices out there, but he can be louder in your life.
Amen. You said that changing your thinking, that's really what repentance means. This is a change of how we think. You're right. And some people, we trip over that word repentance because it's been mangled by certain churches into, you know, like gravel and all that kind of thing. But it's a change of thinking, changing of how we think about God, how we think about ourselves, how we think about life, how we think about everything. So that's the renewing of our mind, the changing of our mind. So yes, thank you for using that term. I love that term. So your website, are you on any socials? Also, how can people connect with you? What's the address of your website? I'll have it in the show notes, but for those who are listening, so you could direct them to how to connect with you specifically.
Yeah, it's just another statement of faith. That's Abundant Encounters. God is not short on encounters, my friends. So anyway, so abundantencounters.com is the best place to find us. You can find us on most social media with Abundant Encounters as kind of the hashtag or whatever. And we're on Facebook and Instagram and YouTube. And we do a podcast that's just like, it's Christian meditation. And we use a lot of inner healing tools on there as well. So they just walk people through very calming exercises. We use beautiful music and that kind of stuff. And it's just real peaceful and great. And, you know, it helps build mindfulness and those kind of things. So that's also Abundant Encounters. So go Google us and you'll find all our stuff. And we got so many things. Can I show you real quick? I got a big stack up here. So this is like, we have all these journals and all these things that you can go find. this is my book. And, you know, we saw that, but like some of these are really helpful for like, testify is a way that you can learn to tell your testimony, and testimonies are really powerful. That's how God moves the kingdom, and that's how he moves it through us. When we're able to tell our story, it's just awesome for our church.
Telling our stories is powerful. Mm-hmm. People connect to stories.
That's right. Say that. Cause I mean, that's what we need. We need to hear your story. All of us. Because that is the transform. When we hear what God has done in your life, then it allows us to believe for what he can do in ours. And that's the way heaven's economy works. It just kind of pours through us. So when we're willing to share those kind of things, then it can make us all rich. So I encourage you to do that. And all these are mostly journals and things like that. But go grab them on our website. You can find all that, abundantencounters.com.
Alrighty. Well, thank you, Josh, for being with me today. This was so wonderful and insightful and encouraging and hope-filled. Thank you.
Thank you, Danielle. This is really fun. Appreciate
and it. My listeners, thank you for being with us today. Head over to abundantencounters.com and grab a copy of Josh's book. And that podcast sounds interesting to you. Go and listen to that too and get some peace inside you. So until next time, mwah, I love you.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for listening to the Victorious Souls Podcast. You matter and you are loved. We'd love to connect with you further, so please visit us at danielleburnock.com and grab a copy of Danielle's free audiobook. And remember, only you can change your life. No one can do it for you.